verses 12 to 25. And that's page 749 in the Chapel Bible. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his
and his disciples. They stayed there for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he'd said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man.
First of all, we've seen Jesus calling his first disciples. We've seen the first miracle at Cana of Galilee. And today we see Jesus in the temple. But before he went to the temple, we read that he had some family time together. Do follow it in the Bibles, as we've been encouraging you. It's page 749, and John chapter 2, and our passage begins at verse 12. I will have the verses on the screen as well, because that helps me. And so we read this. After this, he, Jesus, went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. Jesus had performed the first miracle in Cana, and now he was going down to Capernaum. There's Cana up there, and he says go down because he went down to the valley, and there's Capernaum. I think it's about 20 miles, and maybe here to Worthing, here to Portsmouth, something like that. And he went with his family, and they had some time together there. Mary and the disciples, of course, had seen that first miracle. And I wonder what they talked about. I wonder if they talked about the miracle, how it surprised the people at the wedding when they water turned into wine, and it was the best quality wine ever. And gallons of it, as Martin explained to us last week. And they probably, as they were in his presence, began to really appreciate that he was their Messiah. He was God's Son. He was the coming Saviour who'd come into the world, and the one who could perform these signs and these miracles. We don't have that privilege, do we, of meeting with him and sitting down around the table and talking to him. But we recently heard how that we can see him with spiritual eyes. And we can see Jesus, and we can still be close to him, and we can worship him. And again today, we've come into his presence, and we've remembered him, and we've worshipped him who is so worthy of our praise. And so we, in a way, and a special way, knowing more things about Jesus, can come to him. But these were with him in person. And when he was there, we read in verse 13, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The Passover was that annual feast that all the Jewish people tried to celebrate. It was the most important of all the feasts. It was remembering the time when God had brought his people out of slavery and all they were enduring in Egypt. The Pharaoh of Egypt had had them as slaves there. He wouldn't let them go. God inflicted various plagues and problems for them. The last one being that the firstborn child in each family would die. And that applied to God's people as well as to the Egyptians. But God's people could be escape that punishment. And they could escape that punishment by making a sacrifice. A sacrifice of a lamb and putting the lamb's blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. And then when that deadly night came and the angel of the Lord passed through, the angel would see the blood on the door, around the door, and would pass over that house. And no harm came to them. And that happened. And they escaped. And they were brought out by Moses leading them. And they went on their journey to the promised land. And so it was the most important feast that they remembered. How God had redeemed them. God had rescued them. And some would worship and remember the Passover feast in their homes. But if they could, they liked to go to Jerusalem, to the temple to do it. And Jesus had decided he and his disciples would go to the temple. Back to the map. There's Capernaum at the top, up there still. And Jerusalem is right down the valley and at the bottom here. And that wasn't 20 miles. It was more like 100 miles. Maybe from here to Oxford. And they didn't have BMWs to go in. And so it was quite a journey. And they wanted to go there. And it was worth doing that to worship at the temple. I wonder how we value coming to worship. Would we walk a long way not to miss worshipping the Lord who is so worthy? It's a challenge, isn't it? And so they got to Jerusalem. And we read in verse 14. In the temple courts he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at the tables exchanging money. The temple had a number of different courts, and there's a faint picture of it, and you can see, I'm trying to use the pointer and it's not working, but you can see in the middle there is all the temple main building and the different sections of that. But right round the outside, in that outer enclosure, was the court of the Gentiles. It was the court where anybody could go into the temple. Only certain people could go further inside the building. And when they came to worship, everyone gathered in that outer court. And some would want to pay their temple tax. Some would want to come and worship and sacrifice an animal. And the temple tax had to be paid with special temple money. And so in that outer area, there were people changing the money. And there were also people with animals and birds selling them for sacrifice so the people could worship. And so it wasn't unusual for Jesus to come into the temple courts and find that people were there selling animals and exchanging money. And on the surface, that appears fine. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew that these traders were market traders, if you like. They were charging extortionate rates to exchange money. They were charging extortionate rates for those animals. And consequently, normal people coming and wanting to be God-fearing people who would go and worship and pay their worship with an animal and a payment, they were being taken advantage of. And this unfairness touched the Lord's heart. And so the next verse says in verse 15, he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? God's house was being turned into a profiteering market for those traders. And genuine God-fearing people who wanted to come and worship were taken advantage of. The temple should have been that place of worship, with reverence and respect. And instead of that, it was turned into a chaotic market, and people were taking advantage of others who were wanting to come and worship. And you could say they were being robbed because they were being fleeced as they came along and taken advantage of. And the result was God was being robbed of the true respect and worship that he deserved. And the anger welled up in the Lord, and he turned the tables over and he turned those traders out. You know, our worship today is like that. We come with reverence and respect to the one who is so worthy of our worship. We come appreciating who God is. We come appreciating what God's done in sending his son for us and appreciating the Lord Jesus. And that as we come to a holy God that deserves our worship and respect, we know him as our Heavenly Father because he sent his son and he has saved us. And that's why we don't just waltz into worshipping the Lord. We can come with confidence. We can come with freedom. And we come knowing that we're welcome. But we come reverently and with respect. I always, when I think of those things, think of Chris. She tells a story of when she was a girl and went to church every Sunday and came to the breaking of bread service. And there was one man who used to get there at least a quarter of an hour early every Sunday morning. Half an hour early. And he wouldn't stand at the door and chat to people. He'd just go to his seat and prayerfully prepare himself for the worship that he was going to try and give God. We come freely. We come with reverence and respect. And that was being destroyed in the temple. And we read next that the Lord's disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. We've got it recorded in our Bibles in Psalm number 98, these words. And it talks about the psalmist was saying how that the Lord will have zeal and anger and fervour to ensure that worship happens in God's house. And the disciples remembered that scripture. The zeal of your house will consume me, speaking of the Messiah. And when they saw Jesus' zeal in that way, that was another sign to them that he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And that scripture was being fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And think possibly the religious leaders would have been thinking the same thing. They would know the scriptures, and they would remember that. And so they were wondering, who is this man? Who is Jesus? Is he really the Messiah? But instead of believing that he was and accepting that he was, they came to the Lord and they asked for more proof. Then the Jews demanded of him, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? They didn't mention that they'd allowed the temple to become a market. They didn't mention that they'd hindered people and made it so costly for them to come and worship. Instead of that, they just came to the Lord and said, give us proof that you're the Messiah. And that's when Jesus replied in perhaps an unusual way, we might think. He said to them, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. They were in the temple. They thought of the temple all around them. And so they said, the Jews replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Jesus was looking beyond the physical blocks and stones that were there in the temple. He was looking to the time when he was going to die. And he would then come back to life again after 3 days. And having that paid the price, that price for sin, people wouldn't need to come to the temple at Passover or any other time and go through those rituals of worshipping. They could just come to God through him because he is the saviour of the world. And those of us who know him as saviour, of course, have remembered him again, the one who is worthy of our praise as we've taken bread and wine this morning. If we don't know him as our personal saviour, if we haven't realised that, it's not difficult. We just need to pray to him, admitting that we're sinful, thanking him that he took the cost by dying on the cross for us, and inviting him into our life. And that brings us into God's family. That gives us the promise of eternal life, and we become real Christians. The disciples were there, remember, listening to these words, and they were thinking about them, but it wasn't until after Jesus had died and risen again that they really understood everything, because John then wrote in verse 22, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken, and they understood more fully. We're told that Jesus went on while he was there in Jerusalem to perform other miracles, other signs that he was the Messiah. We don't know what they were, it just says other miracles. And people, as a result, came to him and believed in him. While he was in Jerusalem, at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. And that sounds great, but we then read these words. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Jesus would not entrust himself to them. I'm told the Greek for believe and trust is the same thing. And so this could read, many trusted in him, but he did not entrust himself to them. And what was happening there was that Jesus saw that their trust, their following of him, was only because of the miracles he'd done. A bit like after feeding the 5,000, they followed Jesus across the lake and he said, "You've only come to me because you want more miracles, you want to be fed." Jesus saw in their lives and hearts that it was just outward. They were coming to him and apparently putting their trust in him because of what he'd done and his miracles. Jesus knew they weren't true followers because it says he knew what was in a man. Jesus knows our hearts. He knows our lives through and through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We can't hide what we really are from God or from the Lord. So Jesus in the temple, doing these things, saying these words, what do we learn from that? Perhaps three questions. Is Jesus our Saviour? He talked about coming to life again after 3 days. His objective was to go to the cross and die for us and rise again, and that he is the Saviour of the world. Have we acknowledged we need him as our personal Saviour? Is living for God and worshipping God a priority in our lives? Do we get upset when we're hindered or others are hindered from living for God or worshipping him? Does God's knowledge of us embarrass us? He knew what was in a man, it said. He knew what was inside people. He knew and he knows whether our trust is genuine or real. He deserves and wants to be Lord of our lives. May we make him Lord of our lives and follow him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world. We thank you that we have these accounts in your word of him with people. We thank you that even when he was in the temple, angry with what he'd seen, and then going on to worship at the Passover feast, he was looking forwards at that point even to when he would die and rise again, because his purpose was he came as Saviour of the world. And so we thank you for sending your Son, and we thank you that by trusting him we have salvation, we have redemption, we have peace with God. Help us to value that. Help us to live for you day by day. Help us to value these precious times when we come in worship. And help us always to remember that you know us through and through. And as we said at the beginning, help us to be shocked and abhorred by sin. Keep us close to you, we pray. And may the Lord Jesus be honoured and glorified through everything we do in our lives. For his glory and for our blessing we ask. Amen. This song says Jesus is Lord. The first verse says because he's the creator. The second verse says because he came and died. And the third verse talks about how he rose again and he's victorious. It's 300.